Stand together, open our Bibles to Acts chapter 1. Wow, these girls can sing. Whew. Wow. They have the skill and they have the heart. Man, some people have the skill and have the heart. Some people have the heart, don't have the skill. That's most of us. Like, they have a heart. I know you can't sing. Acts chapter 1. Really, we're going to be quick tonight. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 7. By the way, every time you have a special up here like that, these girls practice, and we go home and get our Lucky Charm cereal before you go to bed. How do we do that? Every once in a while you go home and get some cereal. Come on. All right, good. All right, just checking. They're sitting over here practicing. Okay, they're practicing while we're home, driving home, and they're practicing after a service and to be a blessing for a three-minute song. And so and the pianist has to stay here. These girls, all these piano players, they're practicing, and they don't get much break time. They're always at the piano, and we appreciate you. We don't appreciate you enough. Acts chapter 1, verse number 7. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons. Of course, they were asking Jesus, when's the kingdom going to be restored and all that, which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both. That both doesn't mean two. We think of both as two, but both in Jerusalem and in all Judea. Jerusalem was local in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And let me say this. As a pastor, I'm a pastor. I'm not just a preacher. I'm a pastor. A pastor, we have different offices. We're shepherds. And I want to, there's so many needs out here. There's single moms out here, and there's single dads here, and there's sick people, and there's people that are going through all kinds of problems. And I wish every sermon I can help with that need, okay? And it's impossible. Maybe one sermon will help some. But one thing we need to understand for all of us, whether we're hurting, whether we're, man, we're like, wow, I'm gung-ho for Jesus. I'm ready to go. Just, you know, let's go charge hell with a squirt gun or something. This is what Jesus left us with. He said, this is it, guys. You're down here for a little bit. You need to get the gospel out. And we got to understand that, because sometimes you might think, well, that's not for me. It is for you. It's for all of us, okay? And so we can't overemphasize it. And so Jerusalem is local, and he said, you'll receive power after and be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. And look with me over to Acts chapter 3. I'm sorry, Acts chapter 2. look at verse number 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And this is a time once a year where Jews came from all over the world to come for the Feast of Unleavened Bread, Passover, and Pentecost. And so some commentator, I have one commentary that says there's upwards around 1 million guests or visitors going to this part of the world that are Jewish people for this occasion. And so these are people that they don't live here. They come here because of their commitment. These are real committed Jews that come here. And so it says when the day of Pentecost was fully come in verse 1, they were all in one accord. Now, so the day of Pentecost didn't necessarily have to do with these Christians that were all one accord in one place. It just so happens that the day of Pentecost come, and these guys were all together praying. And then look over to verse 41, and we're skipping around here. Verse 41. Of course, Peter had preached, and all these different Jewish people from all over the world heard him preach. And this, I want you to get this. This is the whole message, and it's a short message. We're going to give you a little handout. This was very strategic in the mind of God. This time for the people to tarry, and they're filled with the Holy Spirit, and then Peter preaching on the day of Pentecost, all these people were from all over the world. I mentioned, I don't know if sometime I mentioned this morning or prayer meeting or sometime, when the book of Titus, Titus is in Crete, there's already Christians there. No doubt, we're pretty sure that these converts were saved here because there were Cretans that came from Crete to this this Jewish celebration. And so here's the point here. God had this time to preach the gospel to so many people. We call a window or a season of the soul. It was a certain season where a great opportunity to get people saved. And so please understand that. Look at verse 41, and I'll shed a little bit more light on that. Then they that gladly received the word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So big group, 3,000 saved. Now everybody didn't get saved. So no doubt there are tens of thousands of people, but 3,000 got saved, okay? And they got baptized, and they, in verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, this is the Bible, and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and all had things in common. And let's pray together. Father, help us. We're going to have our Easter service next Sunday, and there's going to be guests here. And it's a strategic time on really the calendar of the world where people come to church. And help us to be prayed up. Help us to be ready to help to fulfill the Great Commission. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. If Stephen was diagnosed with cancer this week, Stephen Rubio, one of two things would happen. He'd either get bitter or he'd seek the Lord more. Okay? We call that the season of the soul. Season of the soul. There's a season where, I like that, two. Looks like you're at a ball game, two packs of peanuts. There you go, got two. Dar, are you slow or you just have a lot more people?
I'm slow.
Okay, thanks. A humble man, very honest. There's times when people are more open to God, okay? We need to understand that. And on the church calendar, and I don't necessarily mean our physical calendar, but just on the church calendar, all over the world, I want to say, I don't have it in front of me, I think it's a billion people celebrate Easter. Now, they don't all celebrate it as a Christian. Some people, they're like Easter lilies, and they go to church, they pop up. They won't darken the doors of a church for another year. There are opportunities that we, as God did, though God can do anything, he took this opportunity at Pentecost to say, Peter, preach. There's a bunch of people there. Take this opportunity, okay? Over the last about 3 months, just something, I don't know if the Lord just pressed on my heart, it's like when someone's open to God, go get them. Give them the gospel. If they're saved, help them, bring them along. Don't wait. This is the time for them to grow and to help them. This was a great timing for God to bring many to Christ soon after Jesus ascended into heaven. We call that the ascension. In Cambodia, our team there in Cambodia, I think Brother Board does it. I know there's some that do it. They have big boat races. And you say, what happens? People come from all over the country. That's like their Olympics. Okay? They come from all over the country, and they have time off, and they go to the boat races. You say, what happens? A bunch of Christians go to those boat races and give people the gospel. Okay? Olympics around the world. There's some, I've heard of them, I don't know much detail, the Olympics, where there's people that have off, and when traveling people, I don't mean the athletes, but the people that go watch them, they go there, And then there's Christians that say, you know what? There's going to be people from all over the world. There's going to be large crowds, hundreds of thousands of people, and they'll go there and they'll use it as an opportunity to get the gospel out. How many have ever been to a state fair or a county fair? And they have a little tent, and they have a way to give the gospel. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You ever see that? You ever go to the county fair or the state? No, you don't go to the state fair. You don't like cows. Okay. And they have someone there, and you say, what is it? These people, they have time, and they're coming through, and they want free little crackers, and they want to see the pigs, and they want to see the most beautiful sheep and all that stuff. Well, there's people that go there and take advantage in not a bad way, in a good way. They say, you know what? These people are just casually walking through, and they have these, I don't know what you call these little gospel rooms. They get them in there, and they give them the gospel, and they get saved. Now, look. In 7 or 6 days, we as a church, I want to just communicate this, and this is every year. We want to take advantage of all the new people that will be here next Sunday. It's once a year. There'll be all the Filipinos. It happens to be their anniversary and Easter. What a wonderful time. I mean, thank God. You know what encouraged me? The Filipino people have rallied around this opportunity. They've been coming out on Saturdays and know they're getting together. Oh, Robert Limcaco, he painted all week, all by himself, not one soul with him. Everybody else is on vacation. Brother Ray's over there surfing in San Diego. And Robert Limcaco is working. He wasn't surfing. I think he was bodyboarding or something. And old Robert Limcaco, man, get in the room already. He was down there painting. Thank you, Robert. And so I want to go through this real quickly, just a few scriptural thoughts in preparation for next Sunday. You say, Pastor, we don't need this. I think we do. And if anything, it's the thought, what gets emphasized gets done. Wouldn't it be great if there's a bunch of people here saved next Sunday, and they're not only saved, but they continue in the apostles' doctrine, okay, and in fellowship, and in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Wouldn't that be great? Okay, look real fast to your outline. I'm going to go through this real fast, okay? Number one, pray. Can everybody say pray? Pray that God would be, and by the way, we're going to close the service in just a few moments, and we're going to pray. You pray right in your seat. You can pray on your knees. We're going to pray together. We said we did that a couple weeks ago. I know. We're supposed to pray without ceasing. Let's pray. Letter A, pray that God would be honored and glorified. Hey, isn't that what it's all about? It's for him. Man, I want to do something for him. I don't feel, oh, man, I got to serve God. No, I want to serve God. Man, I want to serve God. You know, Pastor, if you had an opportunity to get out of it, no, I wouldn't want to get out of it. I want more of it. Say, why? I'm not doing this for the mayor. You know, thank God for Mayor Foster. We're not doing it for our city councilman. Is it Baker? What's our councilman? Johnson, not Baker. Anyway, leave that one alone. Letter B, pray that lost people would be saved. Letter C, pray that the wayward Christians would come back to the Lord. Letter D, pray the word of God would have free course. Okay, we want to have real orderliness around here. We want God's blessing, and we don't want people out on the sidewalk walking around distracting the word of God. Okay, we want, and the music's going to be great, and everything's going to be fantastic next Sunday. And by the way, I believe this will be the last Resurrection Sunday that will be in this service. This auditorium will be in the new one next year. Won't that be great? Amen. Woo-hoo! Pray that the word of God would have free course. 2 Thessalonians in your outline there. Finally, brethren, pray for us. This is Paul asking for prayer support that the word of the Lord may have free course. I preached about that. And be glorified even as it is with you. Number two, plan. Can everybody say plan? Okay, everybody here, most of us have a brand new Sunday school class starting. Brother Charlie, right that room over there, it's going to be so filled. I hope you have enough waffles. I don't know what you guys are cooking. Charlie, every time I walk through there, there's like food smell in there. You know, I like it. I like it. I get hungry before I come up here to preach. Okay? 1 Corinthians 14:40. Let all things. Now, Paul was straightening out some problems of disorderly in the church, but then he goes on to say, let all things, not just, you know, your songs and your tongues and different order, out of order and all that. Let all things be done decently and in order, okay? The more you have, the harder it is of anything. I have 7 children at home and 3 or 4 of them are adults, but look, it's hard to keep order at my house. All those kids, who made this mess? And no doubt it was Timothy again. Okay? In the car, who left the McDonald's cup here? You know, it's like, who did this? And it's anyway. All Sunday school teachers need to have an orderly plan to allow God to personally touch lives in the Sunday school. Okay? By the way, don't wait until Sunday morning to get order. Okay? Get order now. Start preparing. One thing I've learned is if you're gonna teach or preach, you're going to do something, don't wait to the last minute, because you know what happens? You get stressed out. And then you come up there and you're a little tense. You know, God wants to have free course through you. If there's tension, because you were, you know, playing too many, Monopoly or Yahtzee or video games or watching television or maybe just going out, drinking too much Starbucks or something. Remember, Sunday school is the love ministry in our church. That's where people get touched. When they come in here, it's going to be crammed, probably have that door open, it'll be crammed out there. They'll get touched by the Word of God, but a personal touch will be in an orderly, God-blessed Sunday school class. Have a plan to follow up on those that let you know that they will be there this next Sunday. So we have 6 days, and there's people that you have on your list. Send a prayer to heaven and send a text to them. Send an email to them. Send a postcard to them. Send a phone call to them, and then it'd be good to visit them. Letter D, have a plan to follow up on those that attend. Persist. Can everybody say persist? We live, and we don't have lazy, well, we probably have a couple lazy people in church. We live in a lazy society. Lazy. I'll tell you what I like about the raw boys. My son Tim said, he said, those, especially James, he said he works like a man. He's like 8th grade. Just work. Okay, persist. Let's have a mind, look at your little outline. Let's have a mind to work this next week. Ecclesiastes 9:10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. Let your children be involved in the work party after school next Friday. You said, what work party? We just announced it. Can you put it on the schedule? Cindy Yu, she said, Pastor, she's so humble about it, because we had our staff all clean last week, getting ready for Resurrection Sunday. And she said, you know what we used to do in China? And I kid around with her. I said, Chinese people are smart. So I always want to listen to what they do in China. And she said, in China, what we would do once every month or once every couple months, she said, one day all the students would bring their rags, right? They'd bring their own rags and bring their cleaning material, and they'd come to school not using the church or the school. They didn't have church, but the church. They'd come, and the whole day they'd come and clean. Yeah. Put that on the calendar next year. You have a lot of sick days for the kids in those days. Okay. By the way, it doesn't hurt your children to, well, you know, always working at the church. It's good for them. Amen. By the way, I'd rather be working at the church and sitting home and playing video games. If we got every dollar for every minute of video games that were played last week in this church, we'd be able to build us a crystal cathedral. Maybe. You say, how do you know? Because my kids got half of it built. Now, be here early on Resurrection Sunday. Letter number next, pastor. Can everybody say pastor? One responsibility of a pastor is shepherding, loving, caring. Next bullet, this is new. The number one reason a visitor comes back to a church is because of the friendliness of the church. The church, we're going to have baby chicks next Sunday for the little children. You know what a baby chick needs? Number one, it needs the warmth of its mother for that egg to hatch. Number two, it needs warmth to stay alive. Bunch of those babies are going to die. Bunch of those little chickies are going to die. You know why? The kids are going to put them, you know, out in the backyard or something with their pit bull. Okay? You know what new people need? They need warm people. Okay? And if we have a warmth, you say, well, I'm shy. I'm shy too. Just come up to somebody and say, man, we're glad you're here. Can we help you with anything? Get their names. And the number one reason they stay is because they develop friends. And you say, how do you develop friends? Get a phone number. Okay? You single guys, stay away from the single girls. Letter next. We should always be loving and kind to everybody that comes to PBC. However, the little bullet there, we certainly need to be at our best in this department on Resurrection Sunday. Say hello to everybody. Okay? Show, you say, oh, I went to bed too late last night. Say hello anyway. Show genuine interest in everybody, especially our guests. That's Christ-like. That's true Christianity, just being kind to people. Be kind one to another, the Bible says. Tender-hearted. Okay? Realize the teens make a huge, listen, oh, everybody look up here. Teenagers. Okay? For me to smile, big deal. Probably got coffee stains on my teeth. Okay, I'm old. For Jaylene to smile and say, we're glad you're here today. For Aaron to say, man, we're glad you're here today. They're like, whoa, that kid. He didn't have that zombie look on him like he'd been playing video games all night. Okay, young people, I remember David Gibbs, he said, get your godly young people out there. People just love to see godly young people. Okay, love each other too. John 13:35, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, ye have loved one to another. Our loving each other, even on a day like that, they say, wow, there's something here. We need to love each other. Number five, or whatever, I don't know what number it is, participate in four steps of spiritual growth plan. Luke 14:27, whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. You know what we want to do? See someone in your class, Brother Kyle, starting a brand new class. Daniel, our lead singer, and I said, who's singing up there? And it was Daniel Rodriguez. There's somebody who's going to be in his class. He's like, boom, let's try to help them along and get them started on that four-step growth process. Pray that one of these new people can be the individual that you bring through the four steps of spiritual growth. Number six, maybe the most important, park off campus. We have one of our ladies, she's in heaven. I don't know if I invited her to church. I can't remember. She was a saved lady. She's a black lady, real nice. And she lived just over the bridge. And her name is Jean McCoy. How many remember Jean? Remember Jean? And never forget, I went to her home. She was dying of cancer. And she was, I don't know if she was in like a semi-coma. She wouldn't talk. She wouldn't respond. And we were just there, my wife and I. And then I opened up the Bible and I started reading the Bible. And she started moaning. I'm like, wow. Maybe when you're about ready to go to heaven, it's almost like there is power in this book. It's like she was just, and then I started reading the Bible and she couldn't talk, but she was trying to get out of herself. But she came, and then she died, went to heaven. But she came to church one day, went in the parking lot, looked around, no parking, went around. Oh, here at 33rd, went on Magnolia, made a left on Wardlow. Or maybe, no, she made a left on Magnolia, went to Willow, made a right, and went right back home. Now, she was a member of our church. She'd been here for a long time. You say, Pastor, what am I saying? Let's all make a covenant tonight. Put your hand on your Bible to say, I will not park in the parking lot next Sunday. I will not park on 33rd, you little sneaky little guys. Okay, you come early, look, by the way, we know the color of your car, you can't hide it. I will not park on Magnolia, okay, and I'll either park on Wardlow, go all the way around, or I'll park on Pacific, or I'll park at Laserfish, which we need to make sure that we have open on that Sunday, or I'll park at the MTA parking, the Blue Line parking. Say why? When the guests come, by the way, you know what guests come, they want to park right in front of the church, right on Magnolia or on 33rd or right there. That's isn't very spiritual. Oh, what if some lost person comes in and it's full because a bunch of our people, let me say this, we all need a little walking. I'm serious. I live right at that house. When I drive my car here, almost every time I forget my car. Because I hardly ever drive my car here. You say, why? I need the walk. And I like it. It's a good walk. And it would be good for all of us to just say, every time I go to church, I'm getting exercise. You say, what do you mean? I'm going to park a ways? And say, well, listen, I'm a member, and I tithe, and I give to the building, and I give to the mission and missions. And then thank you for doing that. But it would be nice if we just said, Brother Treber, I think he said he had 38 parking spaces on 1 acre of land. Their church got up to over 2,000 on less than 1 acre of land. And none of their people could park on the parking lot. They all parked off campus. Okay, let's stand together.